You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today's month is the Monday edition, and I wanted to update you what happened over the weekend. I think you've heard by now that Trump took two states as well as Cruz taking two states. But what you probably have not heard is the lead that Trump had actually was narrowed, because when you look in the details, Cruz actually gained a number of delegates. So there's not as wide a margin between the candidates as there were before these four primaries and caucuses. Now, for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is go to my companion blog, and for every show I have at least one post, sometimes two or three, but usually at least one, that has my notes on it, some of my show prep, and that's at pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll have links to the latest 60 to 80 shows, and then my notes, and that's what I'm pointing out. I have a lot of information. I have a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of statistics, both in terms of the delegate counts, the results of the being called Super Saturday, although there are only four states, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, and Maine. And I'll give you that in a minute. And so below the links, where you go, you click on any link, it'll take you to the show. And the very first link will take you to today's show. And this is show 637. I'll probably have it published before 10 o'clock tonight. That's always my goal. And I am caught up, believe it or not, with all the past shows. And this has a lot of videos. And I'm going to play several of the ads that Donald Trump has come out with. If you've been listening to the news, or as well as listening to Donald Trump, his opposition has spent millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, running negative campaign ads. And those are the super PACs primarily, but also the Rubio campaign. And so I think Donald Trump is about to strike back, because I noticed today that a number of rather short YouTube videos are available that I hadn't seen before, and they're very much issue-oriented, and they're short. They're either 30 seconds or less, or a minute or less, on various topics, and it really shows Donald Trump talking into a camera. And they were shot at two locations. One is office. The other, I think, is in a room in his mansion in Florida. So I have that information as well. And I wanted to briefly go over one of my concerns, is the apparent flip-flop by Trump during the debate concerning H-1B visas. Now, it was quickly corrected by his campaign staff. It plays with what I was trying to say in the last show, that Donald Trump simply didn't come prepared as well as prepared as he should. And I think some of the delegates that Cruz got over Trump can be explained to the extent that people watch the debate. But I'm more, if you listen to the show, you know that I can vote for Ted Cruz. I'm not a Republican and not a Democrat. So in the general election, I would vote for Ted Cruz if he's on the ballot, but I really don't think he's going to be on the ballot. I think Donald Trump right now is the odds-on favorite to win the nomination. Now, the only question, the only open question, when they have their convention on the first ballot, will Donald Trump have 1,237 delegates or votes cast for him? If he does, he's the nominee. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, and none of this nonsense about a brokered convention. I've been looking at the numbers, and there's only two people that have a shot at it, and that's Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. So the establishment is really out in the cold where they should be. I don't think Rubio has a chance of winning Florida. And if you can't win your own home state, I think that's the minimum requirement. If you can't win your home state, you're not going to attract or and should not attract the big bucks, if you will, from the donor class. I think Marco Rubio understands that. He still might have enough money to continue. And Donald Trump did suggest that Rubio get out of the race. I think it's a great suggestion, Marco. If you want any political future, get out before you're shown that the people of Florida don't like you anymore. Now, that's up to you, and that's a hard decision to make, and you're less than 2 weeks away from either a big defeat, and I think Donald Trump will defeat you, in which case Donald Trump gets all the Florida's Republican delegates. And I've been looking a little bit ahead. It looks like Donald Trump might even beat, might is the operative word here, because they're polls. And the polls change day to day. They're only snapshots. But it's a very close race between John Kasich and Donald Trump. With the most recent poll, Donald Trump is also winning narrowly within the margin of error in Ohio. So those two races are the one really to look at. But Donald Trump is doing very well in Michigan. He's doing very well in New York, which doesn't surprise me, because he's made trade an issue as well as illegal immigration an issue. And those are his key issues as far as I'm concerned. Those are his wedge issues. And that's getting a lot of attention from either unemployed workers or people that are concerned that they might not have a job, or if they have a job or working temporary jobs. Now, the job report came out Friday. I didn't have time to present it. It was good in the sense there were the establishment survey of businesses said there were payroll increased by 242,000. That's an okay number. What you really want to see is 300,000 or above, but the unemployment rate stayed at 4.9%. And the reason why is you have over 94 million Americans that are not in the labor force, of which about 20 to 30 million of those would like a full-time job if they could find it. So you have a lot of workers that are concerned about their jobs. Now, the bad news in terms of that unemployment report is there was a slight downward tick in the hours of worked as well as the wages. That's not good, but that's just 1 month, and that's the key. You really need to look at trends. So it was an okay jobs report. It wasn't a great jobs report, and it should result in 2 weeks when the Federal Reserve Board meets. I don't think they're going to change their federal funds target rate. For those that are unfamiliar with that, first, the Federal Reserve is the central bank of the United States. They are responsible for monetary policy, and they've been following what's called a ZIRP, zero interest rate policy. And what they're talking about is the overnight rate that banks lend to themselves. You can't get this rate, by the way. And for over 7 years, it was at 25 basis points. That's very near zero. That's 0.25%. Very close to zero. They last month increased it to a range of 25 to 50 basis points, or a quarter percent to half a percent. And remember, this is the overnight 24-hour rate where banks that have excess reserves, every bank has to legally keep reserves, and that if they have more reserves, they can lend it to other banks that fall short of that requirement. And that's what we're talking about here. The reason why this rate is so important is you have what's called a term structure of interest rates. In other words, student loans, credit cards, mortgage rates, all are somewhat keyed off of that rate. Now, I'm really simplifying here because I don't want to lose you. But what we've had is what some people call economic repression. What am I talking about? If you're a saver and want really safe places for your savings, you no longer have it. You see, the normal or average, if you will, however you want to think of it, federal funds rate is probably, and you'll get a range anywhere from 2.5% to 3.5%. It's not near zero. So what the Federal Reserve has been doing is making sure that the federal government can sell its treasury securities. Now, it stopped buying those, but they still have not really reversed this low or near zero interest rate policy. And they're not going to do it anytime soon. And here's the problem. If we ever go into a recession, they're sort of out of ammunition or things to do. Now, what they're going to do is just continue back into buying treasury securities. They don't need to do it now because there is a demand, a flight to safety, to treasury securities. They're the largest asset class in terms of sheer volume and number of treasury securities out there. So when you get into a very uncertain world where it looks like we might have a global recession or depression or a war, money goes to safety, and the most safe asset in the past has been United States security, treasury security, either bills, notes, or bonds. Now, the only reason I mention it is you need to keep in mind what's happening with the economy. I don't make any forecast, economic forecast, or predictions. I think we're overdue for a recession. Our economy is slowing down. It is stagnating. Remember, the average growth rate over like 5 decades is 3.5%. We're under 1%. If we look on an annual basis, we're about 2%. So the U.S. economy is underperforming what it could do. Doesn't mean we're in a recession, where a recession is 2 consecutive quarters of negative growth in real gross domestic product or GDP. We're not there yet, but we're knocking on the door. And I don't know, economists like to talk about exogenous variables, in other words, outside the system, that could impact the U.S. economy and put it in a recession. I don't know what it would be. War would do it. And I mention it because as I was leaving the newsroom, we always have the television on, usually listening to Fox News or CNN, usually Fox News if I'm in the room. And they were doing a story on North Korea and its threatening actions against South Korea. Usually they do that when they want something from us. They better watch out, though, because if they really do take aggressive action, you might have a president in a not too distant future that would take the leadership out of North Korea. They're trying people's patience. And two can play this game. You have today a rather weak leader, an appeaser, in Barack Obama. But if either Donald Trump or Ted Cruz get elected president, I don't think we're going to take this nonsense from North Korea very long. And we'll really twist the arm of China to get them in line. And if they don't be surprised if the leadership of North Korea and its command and control centers, its key targets, are literally wiped off the map. That could happen, and many Americans, as well as people in the area, would applaud that action. Now, I'm not advocating war, but you do have people that are loose cannons, and North Korea is one of the loosest cannons. It's a totalitarian state. It's really right out of Stalin. It's a really throwback to that time. They're the basket case of the world, but they spend their rather scarce resources in both missile technology as well as trying to develop nuclear weapons. Well, if you push people around too much, someday they'll push back, and they'll push back hard. But we don't have a president that really sends that message loud and clear in the public. A lot of this is handled back channel, and definitely Communist China and to some extent Russia, the former Soviet Union, are still involved in it. China has the most impact, though, because North Korea borders on China. I mention it because if we have a hot war, in other words, North Korea starts to move on South Korea, at that point, the United States is going to come in, as well as South Korea. They're not going to put up with this. And at that time, and that's going to be a very tense situation. And we're less than a year away from the new president. Now, if it's Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, I think they would make it very, very clear to both communist China and North Korea. We're tired of this. And if you do this, we'll take you out, period. And take you out means we'll destroy your nuclear and missile capability and your leadership. And it's about time someone put it to them. Now, we might start with making sure they get nothing. And I know a lot of you will say, well, their people are starving. I know they're starving. They need to revolt. That's easy for me to say. But that's what needs to be done. This guy is a totalitarian. Oh, he's killed many of his military leaders. It's a very unstable situation. And the reason why he's doing this is to act tough. But someone has to make it clear to him that enough is enough, and we're not going to put up with it. And yes, the UN is opposing sanctions on him. Well, if a war does develop, what happens? That definitely would impact trade between the United States and China. You know, you could call for a boycott of buying Chinese goods. I don't think the Chinese government wants that. Now, that doesn't mean the American consumer wants that, but that's where it could go. So you need to look ahead. Now, let's get back to the results of Saturday. And most people, you only hear which state they won. What you don't hear is how close it was and how many delegates each of the candidates got. Now, you've heard Trump won Louisiana. He did. He got 41.4% of the vote, 124,818 votes, and he was awarded 18 delegates. Now, what you didn't hear is Ted Cruz also got 18 delegates. He got less of the vote. He got 113,949, not too far from Donald Trump, and got 37.8%. So why Donald Trump can legitimately say he won Louisiana, in terms of delegates, it was a tie. Rubio ended up with 5 delegates, but he only got 11.2% of the vote, or 33,804. And Kasich got 0. He got some votes, but he didn't. There's always a threshold, so he didn't get any delegates at all. Both Trump and Cruz, no one gained there, but Cruz didn't lose. Now let's go to Kentucky. Trump won Kentucky. You heard that. I heard that. And he did. He got 17 delegates, 35.9% of the vote, and he got 82,493. But Ted Cruz was fairly close to him. He got 31.6%, or 72,503 votes, and he got 15 delegates. Just looking at Louisiana and Kentucky, it looks like Donald Trump not only won both, but because of Kentucky, actually picked up 2 delegates. However, and this is the big however or but, and this is why you really have to look at the numbers, if you go to Kansas, who was the big winner in Kansas? And not surprisingly, it was Ted Cruz. He got 48.2% of the vote, 35,207 votes. But he was awarded 24 delegates, 24. And who was second? Donald Trump came in second, but he only got less than half that, Cruz's. He got 23.3%, or 17,062 votes for 9 delegates. So Cruz really got a lot more delegates in Kansas. And then if we go to Maine, it was closer. Cruz won Maine. So that's why they each won 2 states. Cruz, however, had 45.9%, or 8,550 votes, which translates into 12 delegates. While Trump got 32.6%, or 6,070 votes, and 9 delegates. What's the bottom line here? And I said it in the very beginning. Cruz this week had a very good, very good Saturday. Because now, Donald Trump, he's still in first place with 391 delegates. But Cruz now has 303. So he's closed the gap. Significantly closed the gap. And they're close. It's not neck and neck. But the only two candidates that really have a pathway to victory today are Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. And I agree with Mr. Trump that Marco Rubio should get out of the race because it doesn't look like he has a prayer of winning Florida. Do I think Marco Rubio is going to get out of the race? No, I don't. Part of it is ego. Part of it, he wants to be in the next debate. And he is really, I'm not saying the only establishment candidate, but he is the one establishment candidate that a lot of the donor base would like to give their money to, because Jeb Bush simply did not work out. That was the chosen candidate, at least last year, but no longer. And Jeb Bush did the smart thing. He dropped out. He saw the handwriting on the wall. There was no path forward or pathway to victory. He was in single digits, low single digits. So at least Jeb Bush made the smart decision. The question is, will his protege, I still think they're on talking terms, but Jeb Bush really didn't want Marco Rubio to get in the race, but Marco Rubio is ambitious, got in the race, still in the race. But I think by the 16th of March, for all practical purposes, he's out of the running. Whether he stays around for a couple of weeks or a month, nobody really cares, because if you can't win your home state, what can you win? Well, he won Puerto Rico. He won Puerto Rico. That was his big win. Whoop-de-doo. I think he got 70% of the vote. Nobody cares about Puerto Rico. What they care about is Florida. He has to win Florida. And every poll I've seen, including the most recent ones, Marco Rubio is not going to win Florida. If anything, Ted Cruz is now opening up offices over Florida to really take votes away from Rubio so Trump can win. Remember, Florida is a winner-take-all state. And I believe on the 15th, Donald Trump will take Florida. And a distant second will be Marco Rubio, and maybe even Ted Cruz could beat him out in Florida. And that's a little bit being optimistic, but it could happen. If that happens, if both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump beat Marco Rubio, Marco Rubio needs to retire or suspend his campaign. But ego gets in the way. Because once he does that, he needs to find a job. It's very simple. He needs to find a job. Good luck. And what I really mean is good riddance, because he double-crossed the Tea Party movement in Florida, and they're not forgetting it, and that's why they're coming out, whether it's for Ted Cruz or Donald Trump. Let them make their decision. Since I'm not a Republican, I don't have a horse in this race. I have a preference, but I don't have really a horse, because I'm for limited government, and the Republican Party is a big government party. Better than a Democratic Party, but both parties are big government parties. And if you're truly for limited government, you shouldn't be voting Democrat or Republican. You definitely shouldn't be voting Democrat. But the same goes true for the Republicans. And I've said it once, I'll say it again, Donald Trump is a New York, emphasize, underline, liberal Democrat. Yes, some of his positions, conservatives as well as libertarians, would support, but there's never a 100% candidate. And the reason why Donald Trump is getting all the attention and has the lead he has is because of his strong positions on immigration. However, he did do a flip-flop on H-1B visas, then corrected. I'll get into that in a minute. But the problem we face, especially if you're a classical liberal or a libertarian or someone that believes the size and the scope, the responsibility, the role of the federal government is just simply too big, and that truly is the problem. The reason why our economy is stagnating, the government is just simply spending too much money, and it's taking money out of the private sector and spending it for government programs. In other words, instead of letting people keep their own money, they're taking it in taxes. And that's what Obama is all about, increasing taxes. Because it's fair. Well, it's not very fair if you happen to be a black teenager and unemployed. I think the blacks in this country have done worse under this president than any other president in the past. It's that bad in terms of sheer unemployment rates. Yet they'll go to the polls this November and vote for the Democratic candidate, who will be who? Hillary Clinton. And while we're on Hillary Clinton, they had a debate, and Sanders is still trying to score points, but Sanders' problem is he doesn't really have a pathway to victory. He has his base of supporters, and in some states he might win, but overall, Hillary Clinton is getting not only the primary voters as well as caucus voters, he's also getting the superdelegates. So I fully expect that Hillary Clinton will be the nominee of the Democratic Party. The problem she has is a legal problem, that she is engaged in criminal activity. And if she were anyone else by now, she would have been indicted. And that needs to play out, and I think it will play out. And if you listen to past shows, what I fully expect at some point in time, I don't know when, it could be now, it could be before the convention, after the convention, or after the election, Barack Obama will provide her with a complete and full absolute pardon, and at which point the investigation stops, and then it's very much who wins the election. The only unknown right now, and it's a key, well, actually there are two, is will the FBI director, Comey, submit a criminal referral to the Department of Justice? That's the next step, and they'll do that when they've completed their investigation, dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, gathered all the evidence, and then it's up to the Department of Justice lawyers to make a determination whether or not to go forward with it and request the impaneling of a federal grand jury and to present the evidence to the grand jury. And that's when it gets very, very political, because the Attorney General is involved as well as the President of the United States. The Democratic Party wants to do, as well as Obama and the people in the Justice Department, is really stall, stall, stall. Or what they call in Washington, D.C., slow walk it. Take your time. Take all the time you want. Whose advantage is that? What advantage does that give Hillary Clinton? Then this only becomes an issue after the election, if she wins the election, which I think is still a 50-50 proposition. There's some people that think, whether it's Trump or Ted Cruz, that they're going to win. I'm not that optimistic. I'm not. Because it's very close in terms of the electoral process, and there are certain states that are must states for the Republicans to carry, such as Colorado, Vermont, and others. It'll be very, very close. And you've already heard of the high unfavorables of Donald Trump. What I think's going on, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. See, the press builds you up, and that is more or less where we're at right now. The press has been building up Donald Trump by covering him. All the television networks as well as the newspapers. But at some point, we're not quite there, but we're approaching the peak, if you will. Then they're going to start tearing him down. And they got a lot of dirt, a lot of opposition research, damaging stories, narratives that they can tell about Donald Trump. And they'll do that once Donald Trump more or less has locked up the nomination. In other words, the conventional wisdom is this. They want Hillary Clinton to run against Donald Trump. The only unknown there is Donald Trump will fight back. He'll go after the media, and he will go after Hillary Clinton. You better believe he already has, in pointing out she has some criminal problems, and she does, some legal problems, big-time legal problems. Now, she's entitled to her day in court, but I think the evidence is going to prove overwhelming that she broke the law, and so did her immediate aides, and why some Democrats would like you to believe, well, that's only the Republicans going after Hillary. No, it's not. She set up this server and had someone do it for her, and she was doing it to hide something from both the American people and the Obama administration. She has no one to blame for herself, and where she violated the law was in the handling of classified information, anywhere from confidential to secret to top secret to special access programs, including very sensitive information. And I think she got people killed. And the problem is, by putting on this server, it enabled foreign intelligence agencies of Russia, China, and other countries, such as Iran, to get access to it. In other words, hack or crack her server. Now, they do it as a matter of, they do it almost automatically. They always are going to target the leaders of, in this case, the United States, your various cabinet offices, especially the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, the President, head of the Central Intelligence Agency, head of the National Security Agency, trying to penetrate the information that we have stored on computer servers. And that goes on all the time. And we do the same thing. But when you put it on this type of server where you really didn't have much of any security, anyone that's an expert in the field firmly believes that at least several of these governments, both opponents of us as well as friends, have the information. In other words, she compromised national security. That's the bottom line. And you can get that in a 30-second attack at. Do you trust Hillary Clinton, who compromised national security and have a picture of her server? Is this the person you want to be president of the United States? Well, most people will say no. Most veterans will say no. Most military will say no. People at work in the government will say no. She has a very arrogant, cavalier attitude in terms of the handling of classified information. She thinks she's better than you and me. She's above the law. It comes to that. And no one is above the law, especially if someone's running for president. If that's the attitude that they have, they never should be put in a position of power such as being president of the United States. So I don't think we've heard the last of Hillary Clinton's email situations and what were in the emails. But top secret, very classified documents were found on her server, and she sent over 100 of those emails that she sent that contained classified information. That in and of itself is a crime. Multiple counts. Open and shut case. Intention is not an issue here. It's just the fact that you did it. You're guilty. So the Democrats can have their debates. They can exchange words, and apparently they did. But the larger audience here is the American people, both Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and whether or not they want to give Hillary Clinton that power. I definitely don't. I could never vote for her. And I want to emphasize something. There are a lot of people, and I mean tens of millions of people, that feel that way. So they might not like Donald Trump. They may not like Ted Cruz or whoever the Republican nominee is. But what will motivate them to go out to vote is Hillary Clinton. So I fully anticipate, whether it's Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, that you are going to see in October and November ads attacking the integrity and the handling of classified information by Hillary Clinton and what that means. And that can be done fairly easy with either 30-second or minute ads. It will be definitely an issue that will come up in the debates. I would almost guarantee it. And unlike Bernie Sanders that took it off the table, neither Ted Cruz or Donald Trump is going to take it off the table. He'll mention it in the beginning, middle, and end, pointing to this. Do you want this lady, woman, who compromised national security, risked the lives, if not lost the lives, of American citizens by her handling of security classified information? Do you want her to be the next president of the United States? I think the answer to that is no, no, and no. It's not hard to understand, and that's an issue you want when the other party is clearly in the wrong, is guilty, guilty, guilty. And the last thing you want is the FBI making a criminal referral to the Justice Department between now and Election Day. That is not something that's career enhancing. It's certainly not enhancing in terms of you getting elected president, and that, I think, is going to happen. And even if the FBI waits to after the election, this issue is going to be brought up, because this is an issue that brings out voters. This is a reason to get off your rear end and vote, whether you're not even for the Republican candidate. Who's the least objectionable? Because this issue, as far in terms of Hillary Clinton, it's a disqualifier. It's what I call a deal breaker. I don't want anyone to be president, whether it's a Republican, Democrat, or Independent, that if they should work in the federal government, do not follow department procedures regarding the handling of very sensitive information. Because if this information is compromised, Americans, as well as agents of this country, could be killed. And may have already been killed, by the way, because of her convenience. She says it was, these are her words, for my convenience. Excuse me, for your convenience? Are you kidding? Apparently not. I mean, that's her attitude. And as far as I'm concerned, that is not an acceptable attitude. That's an attitude that gets you fired. And if it were any other individual, they would have been fired. And they would have been prosecuted. These are serious, and I mean deadly serious, issues and crimes. And the FBI doesn't have over 100 agents looking into it because they don't think there was no crimes committed. I think there were crimes committed by her and her staff. And now we have the Justice Department giving immunity, and they don't grant that lightly, to one of the witnesses in the case that set up this server. It's just like they do in organized crime or drug-related. They start at the bottom, and they work to the top, and they give immunity from prosecution, and it's not granted lightly. You have to fully cooperate with the Justice Department, but you testify against the people involved, namely the staff as well as Mrs. Clinton. So that's not going to go away. Now let's get back to the where we are. Tomorrow there's several states' primaries, but the big one is really the 15th. And I'm scrolling down. My memory doesn't serve who what states are up on Tuesday, and I apologize for that. But where you can go, and let me point this out to you. The major source I use to get the returns, it's called the Green Papers, greenpapers.com. And they have the details. They cut the information by party, by state, by candidate, so you can get the results, and they keep it updated. So you can get both the Democratic Party results as well as the Republican Party results. The big day will be the 15th, and then we'll see. See, what gets my attention, I'm looking at the latest Monmouth poll that came out today. It shows Trump is up 13% over Cruz in Michigan. Trump has 36, Cruz has 23. Now, what you need to understand, as you approach the election day, those numbers get closer and closer, but that's amazing. And now, if we look at Florida, and remember, Florida is the 15th, again, the Monmouth poll, Trump is up 8%. Now, this time, it's 8%. Trump has 38%. Second place is Rubio with 30, and Cruz is at 17. Now, if Cruz puts more resources into Florida, and let's say he gets above 20%, who's he going to take votes from? I'll tell you who. Marco Rubio, big time, and maybe even Kasich. And he probably will get some of the Carson voters. So I think Cruz might do a lot better in Florida than anyone is anticipating. He's not going to beat Trump. He's too far away from Trump. But he will take votes away from Rubio. Now, it would be a complete upset is if Trump not only wins, but Cruz comes in second. Could that happen? I don't think so. It depends on the debate, and there's one coming up in Miami. So Florida is really, if I were going to focus in on one state alone, it would be Florida. And there are other polls. One for New York, Trump's up 27%. He's at 45. Remember, Trump is a New Yorker. And Rubio is 18%. Kasich is 18%. And Cruz is at 11%. Trump, we're most likely, I don't think I'm going on a limb here, he's going to win New York. That's a big state. And it's a conservative state, especially upstate. Everyone focuses on New York City. But the Republican base is really upstate New York, which is most of New York. It's only in New York City is it very liberal and Democrat. And I think Trump would take New York. You see, if he sweeps New York, Florida, Michigan, and Ohio, the ball game is over. He might not have 1,237, but he'll have the biggest lead, and what happens then is people jump on the bandwagon. If someone really pulls away from the pack, and that'll happen May, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen on the 15th. And looking at the polls today, the one person that can truly do that is Donald Trump. And remember, I'm not for Donald Trump. You need to be realistic. I listen to a lot of talk radio, and most of the people on talk radio are for Ted Cruz, as am I. Why? Because they're either conservative or libertarian or classical liberal. They know what Donald Trump is. He is a rather recent convert to conservatism. He did come second place, a very distant second place at CPAC, but he didn't show up. Why? Because there were definitely Cruz won it going away, like 40%. But Donald decided at the last minute, or his people decided, not to have Trump speak Saturday. And Trump had his supporters there, but I can see why he didn't show up. He didn't think it was going to be the cheering crowds that he gets at his own staged, but very big, rally events across the country. Now, the thing that's interesting that really caught my eye, you have poll numbers on right track, wrong track. Is the country on the wrong track or is it on the right track? The wrong track numbers, and this is Rasmussen's reports, it's a polling outfit, very reliable, 65% of the people polled said we're on the wrong track. Only 28%, I don't know who these 28% are, by the way, hardcore Democrats that really don't know what's going on, but you know, they're entitled to their opinion. Only 28% said that we're on the right track. In other words, the difference is 37%. Are you surprised that Donald Trump and Ted Cruz are doing well? I'm not. Their message, especially on immigration, is resonating because immigration, especially illegal immigration, is definitely a jobs issue. But it's also a crime issue, a drug issue, and a national security issue. That's why I've said this for years, any candidate that truly makes immigration a prominent issue in his campaign most likely will win. And if he went for the fair tax, he would certainly win. Unfortunately, none of the candidates would go for a broad-based consumption tax. That's their mistake. I think Ted Cruz made a mistake, as did Donald Trump, because that would have distinguished him from everybody else, with the exception of Huckabee that dropped out early. So you make your decisions on positions and then you change them. Now, what is the change, or rather short-term change, that apparently Donald Trump made and then his campaign pulled out? And it has to do with H-1B visas. Now, why is that in the news? Let me tell you a little story. Last summer, I was taking an animation course. I needed to always take one course to have access to the studio. So I took basic animation. I already know how to do basic animation. And I took the course over again because you become better at it. Practice, practice, practice. But I sat next to a lady. Now, she was very good in certain applications. She wasn't good in animation. That's why she was taking the animation course. We got to talking. She said, well, and I won't say the company she worked with, but it is in Dallas, and it's known who it is. They're paying for it. I said, well, why would they pay for it? She was doing something else. She said, well, I had to retrain my replacements. I worked for the company over 18 years. Now, listen to that. She worked for the company over 18 years. And this large Fortune 500 company terminated her. But before they terminated her, she had to train her replacement that were coming in under H-1B visas. As far as I'm concerned, this is an abuse of the H-1B visa system, and it's going on across this country. Disney was in the news. Let me say, the company was Verizon. There's no point in keeping this secret. But there are other companies that are doing this. I think that is wrong. It should be stopped. But what did Donald Trump say in the debate? Let me play what he said.
Mr. Trump, your campaign website to this day argues that more visas for highly skilled workers would, quote, decimate American workers. However, at the CNBC debate, you spoke enthusiastically in favor of these visas. So which is it?
I'm changing. We need highly skilled people in this country, and if we can't do it, we'll get them in. But, and we do need, in Silicon Valley, we absolutely have to have. So we do need highly skilled, and one of the biggest problems we have is people go to the best colleges. They'll go to Harvard, they'll go to Stanford, they'll go to Wharton. As soon as they're finished, they get shoved out. They want to stay in this country. They want to stay here desperately. They're not able to stay here. For that purpose, we absolutely have to be able to keep the brain power in this country.
So you are abandoning the position on your website.
I'm changing it, and I'm softening the position because we have to have talented people in this country.
And you're not releasing the discussion with the New York Times behind closed doors.
That is correct.
Which will have some asking whether, on your immigration policies, you are really just playing to people's fantasies.
No, I'm not.
Which
playing.
Is a tactic you praised in your book, The Art of the Deal.
I'm not playing to anybody's fantasies. I'm playing to the fact that our country is in trouble, that we have a tremendous problem with crime. The border is a disaster. It's like a piece of Swiss cheese, and we're going to stop it. We're going to stop people from coming into our country illegally. We're going to stop it.
Okay, that was Donald Trump. He did flip-flop. And the next day, his campaign said, no, Donald Trump supports his position on the website. In other words, the story I told you, where companies are importing, if you will, IT workers, and American workers train them and then they're laid off. They want that stopped. So do I. See, the story Donald Trump is telling in the debate has a certain extent some plausibility. Why should we kick out of the country people that go to the best colleges and get all the A's that are very talented? Why should we kick them out? We should give them a visa as part of the diploma. I say, excuse me, they come to this country to get trained, and their country needs them back. We have plenty of people to do the job. See, that's what's never said. We have very talented people in the United States, and they should get the jobs. Why? They're American citizens. They're American voters. We'll provide the education to anyone that can pay, and after the education is done, go back to your country of origin, whatever it is. If you want to immigrate here, then get in line with everybody else. See, I'm not for H-1B visas. I would abolish it because it is being abused. And Donald Trump knows that, but he didn't really come prepared. And that is a concern, and he better start first learning what his position is on the website and really learning the issue. Now, Ted Cruz has also changed his position, although he changed it before the debate. Let me play his previous position before he started to run for president. Let me play this.
Chairman, I'd now like to call up Amendment Cruz 5. This is one of the two amendments I've introduced to substantially increase legal immigration. This amendment is focused on the H-1B program, high-skilled temporary workers, and this amendment would substantially increase the high-skilled temporary workers that are allowed to come in. Let me note, I think the best aspect of the so-called Gang of Eight bill is the reform that is found concerning legal immigration. I think it makes some positive steps with regard to legal immigration, but I don't think it goes nearly far enough. And this amendment is designed to go substantially farther, in particular, to take the current cap on H-1B high-skilled visas from 65,000 and to increase it by 500% to 325,000. In my view, the top priority of every elected official, whether Republican or Democrat, should be restoring economic growth.
Okay, that was Ted Cruz in a committee meeting giving his position on H-1B visas. And it is part of legal immigration. That's what we're talking. We're not talking illegal, we're talking legal. You apply for a visa. If you meet the requirements and you're fortunate enough, you get a visa. They're only 65,000. I would abolish it completely. Why? Because it's being abused by corporations. It should be done away with. That's not what Silicon Valley wants. They want cheap labor, just like the other corporations want cheap labor. That's why they encourage illegal aliens from coming in. That's why they're for open borders. And they're also, it's a dual track. One is they want to encourage illegal aliens to come here and stay and work because they're cheap and compliant. And on the other side, they want to increase legal immigration. That's why you need to look at both sides of this. And I knew this before he ran. That's why I had reservations on Ted Cruz. Now, here's Ted Cruz answering a reporter's question on H-1B visas.
Senator, I think the path to legalization issue has been beaten to death, and I won't go over it again here. One of the things that you have supported in the past is raising the ceiling on the number of H-1B visas. Is that something you still support?
It is not. And in this circumstance, they're changed circumstances. And anyone responds to changed circumstances. I have supported and I still support the original idea of the H-1B program, which is to bring in very high-skilled workers that produce jobs and economic growth. I think that's a good thing when we have more jobs and economic growth. However, we have seen in recent months this program being abused over and over and over again. We've seen companies, you know, blue chip names that we all know, bringing in not very high-skilled workers, but medium to low-skilled workers, IT workers, and firing American workers, replacing them with the foreign workers, and then, to add insult to injury, forcing the Americans who've just been fired to train their foreign replacements. That is wrong, it is grotesque, it is offensive, it is a perversion of the program. And so like any rational person, faced with changed circumstances, you change your position in response to how the facts have changed. That's why I have said as president I will impose a 180-day moratorium on the H-1B program. In order to carry out a comprehensive audit of the companies that have received H-1B visas to determine if they're abusing the program, if they're bringing in very low-skilled workers, if they're firing American workers, if they're perverting the program. Any company that has abused the program will be suspended from participating in it, and any company that has violated the criminal laws will be prosecuted. You know, this is yet another manifestation of the lawlessness of the Obama administration. They don't enforce the laws. The president decrees illegal and unconstitutional executive amnesty, but he's also lawless with big companies that are abusing the H-1B program. It's one of the reasons I joined with Senator Jeff Sessions in introducing legislation to dramatically reform the H-1B program so that it could function as it's intended to require, for example, an advanced degree, not just a bachelor's, but a master's or PhD, to put a preference to U.S. universities, to require as a minimum salary $110,000 so that you're not using it to bring in low-cost foreign workers and replace American workers, to put a two-year hiatus on any company bringing H-1Bs from laying off workers. So you got to choose one or the other, but you can't be laying people off at the same time you're outsourcing. All of these are reforms that I think are common sense to make the program work. And we need to ensure that our immigration laws prioritize American workers first. And as president, that's what I'll do.
Now, that was Ted Cruz. Good for him. He's changed his position. But I beg to differ. The abuse of this system has been going on for years. This is not new. What's happening is the large corporations, many of them Silicon Valley, but in Washington, the state of Washington, the software companies, amongst others, and it's in the IT, information technology area, have been doing this. It's not new. I mean, I remember 10 years ago when I was a developer then, and I was meeting with a group of developers going over a new technology, but this was a complaint then, and we were in a downturn, if you will, and people were being laid off. Now we've had a recovery, but here's my point. This has been abused for years. It's not new. He's talking reform. Do away with it. That's what should happen. Now he's talking 180 days. I'm being reasonable. We'll look at it and ban companies. No. Do away with it, sir. Until we have full employment, forget about any immigration reform. The laws need to be enforced. You see, that is why a lot of people are attracted to Donald Trump. The trouble with Donald Trump is he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. And what the Trump supporters don't understand, they hear the huge wall with the big door, and we're going to deport all the illegal aliens that are here, and it's not 11 or 12 million, it's 30 to 50 million. But once they're deported, then we'll bring all of them back except the ones that have committed felonies. That's what Donald Trump wants to do. And virtually none of the Trump supporters understand that. They don't. Has he said it in the debate? Yeah. Hopefully you can come back. In other words, he wants to give him a visa to come back and get either permanent residence, a green card, that's the one you want, because the next step is citizenship, or you can get a work permit, an employment authorization document. They both look like driver's license. The key is they let you live and work here. I don't want to waste billions of dollars deporting these people. It's going to take 10 years, maybe more, to deport all that are here, okay? More than 10 years, probably, because there's somewhere between 30 and 50 million of them. Why spend all the money, and it's going to be a lot of money, in buildings, judges, attorneys, agents, investigators, to deport all these illegals that shouldn't be here? They're serial criminals. They broke in the country, they buy fraudulent documents, and they work here without legal authorization. That is a misdemeanor and several felonies. They should be deported and should never come back. But what does Donald Trump wants to do? He wants to deport them and then expedite visas so they can come back. That's what he's really for. And that's why I warn people, you better be careful in the immigration area, because they'll say one thing and then in closed testimony. See, where Ted Cruz got caught, this was a YouTube video of that entire committee hearing. And people that caught my attention. This is not a new video, by the way. When he says, well, I'll increase it from 65,000 by 500%, where there's over 300,000 H-1B visas. Excuse me, Senator. Nonsense. It's happening in your state. I'm in Texas. People are being, American citizens are being fired while they have to train it. It's not new. How dare you mislead us on that? But at least he's corrected it for a while. And that's what I warn you about immigration. You got to look at where they stand on illegal as well as legal. They always emphasize, all the Republicans do that. I'm for securing the borders. I've been hearing that for 20 years. And the border is still not secure. What I don't want to is to secure the border, build a fence. That's step one. But step two is to roll back that invasion of this country, not of 11 or 12, but the 30 to 50 million that are still living and working here. That's the law. They should be deported. And they're breaking the law every day. And unfortunately, Donald Trump is not the answer. He'll demagogue this, and it's working, folks, but you're going to be disappointed. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's another way to say, don't trust him. He's lying on this issue. And I frankly don't trust Ted Cruz on this issue. You see, one of the things that's never mentioned, Texas, Florida, California, and other states, Wisconsin, Georgia, they all have farming, ranching, orchard, in other words, agricultural interests that give to their campaigns that use and exploit illegal aliens coming to this country. And as well as Silicon Valley and the high tech also wanting H-1B visas. So to get the campaign contributions, they're playing a game. Oh, I'll be tough on illegal immigration, but what I'll do on legal immigration, I'll increase the numbers from roughly a little over 1.3 million to 2 million or 3 million. And as Ted Cruz said, I would like to increase it, the H-1B now, 65,000 by 500% to 325,000. That was before he was running for president. Now that we've had story after story after story nationally and locally about how it's being abused, he's changed his story. And that's what Donald Trump did, a one-day switch. And then he was clued in by his campaign staff, you can't do this, because the American people, that sent, once he made that comment, alarm bells went off. And that could hurt him, so he quickly reversed himself. What I think he truly believes is what Ted Cruz said. He'd rather dramatically increase H-1B visas, and it would hurt the American worker. Don't trust these candidates. Pin them down. Because if you put your hopes in them, you're going to be disappointed. Now I'm looking at the clock, and I am over. So I'll wrap it up and stay tuned. Tomorrow I'll update you on what happened. I'm pretty sure there's a couple of states, but my mind has gone blank as to which states there are. But the big one is really not this Tuesday, it's next Tuesday. And remember, I'm just warning you, the college campus will be closed next week. So I won't have a show during the March 15th covering the elections. And that's why I'm probably spending more time than I would on it right now. Now, on a positive note, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, radiating reason, and KDUCK's web radio, podcasted by procpops.wordpress.com and KDUCK's web radio.wordpress.com.